through the New Testament is continuing today. Who would you say the most important person is in your life? Or has been in your life? Who is the most important person? Maybe it's a father or a mother. One of them, they try to stone him, and after that, he ends up getting up, and somehow, through the power of God, he's able to stay alive, because God still had a plan for him. Paul spreads the message. Paul is arrested multiple times because of what he believes. But through that, Paul keeps telling people about Christ, even in the jails, because that is what Paul has been set to do. That is Paul's mission on this earth now. That is what Paul received from Jesus Christ. It is his passion. It's what he continues to do. As I was trying to figure out what to teach on this morning about the Apostle Paul and how it relates with his story, I went through multiple books of the Bible and reading through Paul's letters, and I just couldn't settle. Even last week, like I thought I was preaching on Paul last week, and I started this process a couple weeks ago, and I just couldn't settle on a passage to teach about Paul. Do you realize that Paul wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books? The majority of the things we know about Christian life come from Paul as an author. When you read through the book of Acts, he's included in 17 of the 28 chapters. The early church, there was a lot to learn from Paul. Paul had received this message. Where did he get it from, though? In Galatians chapter 1, it says, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul may have been there when Jesus was crucified, but he wasn't believing in Jesus at the time. I don't know if he was or not. But the message he received was directly from Jesus Christ. And then he passed it on to people and churches and continued to grow up the faith. So as I was processing through and thinking about what to preach on about the Apostle Paul and how it related, I began to think about what is the absolute essence? What is the one thing that I could say that Paul believes that it would be important to pass on? So I began to look for words in Paul's books that he uses over and over again. The word I settled on was grace. Paul uses grace over 85 times in his books. In every book that he writes, he talks about God's grace. There are words that maybe he uses a little bit more. The word love, the word faith, Jesus Christ, of course, and God. He uses hundreds of times. But grace, if I was to boil down what Paul believed, I would boil it down to this comment. We can have salvation by grace through faith in Jesus because of God's love. Let me repeat that. We can have salvation by grace through faith in Jesus because of God's love. That's Paul's message in a nutshell. That's what Paul was going around and preaching to multiple people, to churches, to people, Gentiles, who didn't really even know much about Jesus. But he was going in and he was telling them about Jesus Christ because of the message that he received. We're going to be in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And Paul writes the book of Titus to Titus. Titus is actually kind of over the churches in Crete. And Paul is writing to give Titus some instructions. Paul also writes 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul writes 1 Timothy to Timothy about the same time he writes Titus to Titus. He's writing to give instructions to these two young men about how to lead the church, about how to help the church grow, about things that they're supposed to be doing and actions that they're supposed to be following. In chapter 2, he lists several individuals and he says, these types of people in the church, they need to be following God in this way. They need to be doing these things. And then he comes to the end of chapter 2 and he says, this is why they need to be doing these things. We're going to be in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. This section is all about why believers in Jesus Christ should be having actions. Last week we talked about Philip, who was living out his faith and was sent by the Holy Spirit to speak to the Ethiopian man. Why our faith is supposed to be having actions. Why do we do these things? Why do we get up for church on a Sunday morning when we could sleep in? Why should we help somebody on a road when they need help? Why should we tell people about Jesus? Why should we not say things that are bad? Why? Paul's going to answer that question in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Let's read it this morning. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." What causes us to be different? The first thing is the grace of God. The grace of God causes us to be different. A definition of grace is getting something you don't deserve. Getting something you don't deserve. Paul says in his letter, "For the grace of God has appeared." Grace has just come. And it's like the doors to the back of the sanctuary have just been thrown open. People have entered. Have you ever been there at an event where you're standing in line and there's just this huge line, and all of a sudden the doors open and the floods come in? That's what Paul's talking about. That's the imagery. The grace of God has appeared. The doors have opened and the floods are coming in. The grace of God has appeared. It brings salvation. That was supposed to happen. There we go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Grace brought in salvation. God's grace. He sent his son so that we could live. And then Paul begins to talk about that grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Ungodliness, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When we're born, we're ungodly. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." I brought a couple illustrations today. This is the shirt I had at home. Ungodliness. The Bible tells us that when we're born, we're sinful. We look like this shirt. We're all born wearing a shirt like this, dirty, sinful. We come in disobedient. Paul says we need to renounce that. We need to take off this. Take off this shirt. We need to not be wearing that. But Paul says we need to train ourselves to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. I went out this week and I found this shirt. Do you see the difference? Do you see? I'm not sure I even want to get this shirt too close to that shirt. Do you see the difference? Paul talks about taking off and putting on, taking off our old self and putting on our new self. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him or are taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, your sinfulness, to take off that dirtiness and to put on your new self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." That's the old self. "And to put on the new self, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." God is calling us to this. We're to take off this and to put on this. That's what Paul's telling us. Why do we do that? Why are we pushed to become this when we're born like this? Because of the grace of God. Because of what God has done for us. That is why we do that. Sometimes we forget, or we have a misconception about salvation, and we try to leave this shirt on and put this shirt on over it. We try to keep all of our sinful, bad habits, all of our disobedience, and we try to put the clean shirt over it. The Bible says, no, you need to take off your old self and put on your new self. What happens when you put on your new self? And then your shirt starts to get dirty. I have lots of polo shirts, and for some reason, probably because my belly sticks out, I get these little spots. Whether I'm eating or whatever's going on, like, I get these little spots. What happens when God has given you a new self and it starts to get tarnished? The Bible tells us in 1 John that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to purify you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll purify and cleanse you. You can keep this nice shirt nice and bright and white. I feel like I'm in one of those commercials. Like, you can buy this product and it'll clean this shirt and make it just like this. But this is what God does. He makes our lives new. And why do we do this? Because it's the grace of God. It's by God's grace that we're able to go from this to this. It's only because of God's grace. We only have the ability to live a new life, to put on a new life, because of God's grace. The second reason is because of the hope of Jesus' return, Paul says. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we want to be made new? Why do we fight battles in our lives against sin? Isn't it just easier to give in? Isn't it just easier if you don't have to fight and you just give in and you say, this is the way I'm born, this is the way I'm going to die? But that's not the way we were intended to live. We're intended to live like that. And it's because of the grace of God that we can do that now. And we can have a relationship with God. The second reason is because of the hope of Jesus' return. Why do we do the things we do? Because we know he's going to come back. I've read the end. In Revelation, it tells us what's going to happen, and there's a lot of debate about what's going to happen. The one thing I know, he's going to return. He's going to come back, and we're going to go with him. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life, the Bible tells us. We're going to go back. And then this battle between this and this isn't going to be nothing anymore. He's going to make us that permanently. We sing about not being a cloud in the sky this morning. That's what the end's going to be. We're not going to have to worry about the pain and ailments that we're facing in life. We're not going to have to worry about pulling out and there being an accident or having something happen. That's not going to be there anymore. The Bible tells us that it's the hope of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, that he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. When I think of redeeming, I think of a gift card. Jesus came to redeem us. He made the payment. He made the payment to purchase us away from sinfulness, away from this. He made the payment to purchase us away from this, to give us that. He had the only thing that could do that, and that was the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for my sin and your sin. He did that so that we could be pure. We could be holy. We could be righteous. We couldn't be pure and holy and righteous without Jesus Christ. Have you read through the Old Testament lately? The law. The Israelites had the law. And what was the problem with the law? The law showed them this, and that they were going to die from this. That's what the law did. The law couldn't give them that. They would try and they would fail and they'd go back to this. But God sent his son so that we can have that. And we look forward to his returning, the hope that we have when that will be made complete. We're striving for that on a day-to-day basis because of what God has done for us. Because of the grace that he's shown to us. When I say the word hope, we use that term so often. But our hope is not like other hope. We say, well, I hope that it's not going to rain today. And we've checked the weather. You got your phone out. And you look, oh, well, there's 10% chance of rain. You look out, it's pouring down. It's not like that kind of hope. We say, well, I hope you have a good day. We say, well, I hope person at the restaurant gets my food okay, they got my order right. We have hopes in this life, but it's not the same hope as what we're talking about here. It's not hope in a weatherman that predicts what the weather's going to be. That's not the kind of hope that we're talking about. The hope we have is an assurance. Remember what I told you? I've read the end. I hope you've read the end too. Jesus is going to come back. He is going to come back. And if you've made this step from the old self to the new self, even if that's a battle, you've made that step. The Bible tells us we're going to go with him. The Bible tells us that we're going to have eternal life, that we will spend the rest of our lives worshiping him. What will that look like? I don't know. But we have that hope, and it's an assurance. We know it's going to be true. Why? How do we know that it's going to be true? We know it's going to be true because his word is true. The Bible that we have, his word, it's true. It's reliable. And it says that that is what's going to happen. God calls us to look differently. So for students going back to school, God calls you to look differently. You're going to look different than people that you're surrounded by. Why are you going to look different? Well, that's why. God calls us to look different because of the grace he's shown us, because of the hope we have in Jesus' return. You're going to look different. For adults, you're going to look different from the people you're surrounded by, whether it's just in this community, or whether it's in your job place, or whether you stop at a gas station or go to the store, you're going to look different. And people are going to wonder, why are you different? And that's when you tell them about the grace of God and the hope that he's given you. You're different. You're striving to be that when you were this. That's what God calls us. Why he calls us to look differently. Because he's shown us his grace. Because we have the hope of Jesus Christ. How we act needs to be motivated by the truth of God's character. How we act, the things we do, need to be motivated by who God is and what he's done for us. Would you pray with me? Father, pray that you would help us to put off our old selves daily as a reminder. Help us to seek to be more like you. Help us to live lives that are holy and pure. God, and when we start to get our new selves spots, God, I pray that we would have the right heart. And that we would come before you and that we would confess our hearts and turn from those things and not do them anymore. and that we would live lives that are honoring to you, so that we can be different and people will wonder why. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now you're wondering what song we're going to close with. Guess what? We're going to close with the